You've heard music from the band Privileges in our affordable housing coverage this fall. On Insight Music, meet the musicians and hear their new single, Lift. Then, Jolie Holland and Samantha Parton. They were part of the 90s band, The Be Good Tanyas. They just came through Sacramento to play some music from their new album, Wildflower Blues. They talked with Nick Bruner, and you'll hear that conversation.
Understand how very important it is that you're doing what you're doing as a female musician.
And later, the sometimes crazy, sometimes super calming sound of the Sacramento group Separate Spines. Four musicians set up two keyboards, two synthesizers, two mics, all kinds of chords and pedals, and you're going to hear the result.
We have an unwritten rule in Separate Spines that the instruments have to be plugged in order to be played in the band.
I'm Beth Ruyak. Insight Music is next. From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight Music, a once-a-month compilation of some of the great music that comes through our studio and conversations with the people who write and perform it. I'm Beth Ruyak, and you're hearing High Flyer by the Sacramento band Privileges. This is from their 2015 release, The Common Language EP. If you've heard us talking about affordable housing this year on Insight or The View From Here, Place and Privilege, you'll recognize this song by Privileges. Privileges came to our studio to debut their new single, Lift. Zach Hake plays guitar and keyboard, Omar Gonzalez-Barajas plays drums, and Melissa Garcia is on bass. The band has been busy recording a new album and performing with local artists, the Philharmonic, DeLorean, and others. I asked about the name Privileges, which the band spells in all capital letters but without the vowels.
We caught the bug from DeLorean, probably.
DLRN.
Right. So really, I think Omar coined the hashtag PRBLGS.
Yeah, I just started tagging that everywhere and, you know, try to build something from that and then started taking off and, you know, I like it.
Is there a social message with naming the band Privileges?
I definitely think that was a huge part for me. I'm super privileged just to play music in this band and be able to have the gear that we have to make the sounds that we do and all around. So I definitely think that's awareness of that privilege is a big part of, you know, being Privileges.
Omar, what do you think of the band name?
When we finally agreed on it, like we went through so many and it looked nice, it sounded good, rolled off the tongue nice, and yeah.
Yeah, it just felt right. It's like, oh, that's it, that's the name.
Yep, we're sticking with it. Yep. Let's go.
Melissa, what's it mean to you?
Kind of just to piggyback off what Zach said, it's really a privilege to be able to, one, have the time and be able to work with such talented musicians and to be able to afford the gear that we have because a lot of people can't. So that's what it means to me, just being privileged to be able to play live and do what we love. Mm-hmm.
This is Lift, the new single from Privileges. Mentioned that you did this body of work in connection with our affordable housing project. Mm-hmm. Did friends and others in the music scene know that you were part of that kind of a project?
I don't know if they knew while we were working on it and getting everything together, but we definitely shared it with everyone, and, you know, people responded to it.
Yeah, I mean, for the past year, I was working closely with the homeless right in downtown, and so I was seeing how it is directly affecting and building relationships with some of these, you know, homeless people out on the streets. And so
why?
For me, what was it?
Why?
Why was I working? Just the job that I had at the time, walking around downtown, basically trying to hook a lot of the homeless with services. Like we were like bridging the gap. So for me, it definitely, it was awesome to be a part of working with the homeless and then to have it paired up with Place and Privilege. Cause it was full circle for me. Like it was putting to words what I was seeing every day that out on the streets of SAC.
It must be a real life experience for people, you know, working people who are being priced out.
Yeah.
Or
yeah, every day. If you go on Facebook, there's someone looking for an apartment
in Midtown. Someone getting evicted. And
yeah we know people. We've known artists who've, you know, been evicted and, you know, scrambling for places to live. And yeah, the struggle is very real. Yeah.
Yeah, I just moved here about 2 years ago, and just from people that I've met, they were paying like a one bedroom apartment $600 in Midtown, and now it's almost $1,000 just over the course of 2 years. And I think a lot of that has to do with the Golden One Center. So I don't know how I feel about that. I know it was a great investment, but at the same time, it's pricing people out of the city.
Yeah, but I'm glad that, you know, people are starting to talk about it and pay attention to it, because it is a really huge issue for Sacramento.
So talk to me about this world that you're in, which is the world of what's called the backing band. This is how you end up playing for so many other people.
Yeah.
So Zach?
The backing band is kind of a dirty word to us a little bit. You know, because we have all this original music that we want to share, but we do like playing with people and, you know, we know
it means
a lot of people.
That a group like DeLorean the Philharmonic will call you and say, I'm playing Harlow's, will you be my backing band?
I think it starts, you know, they hit one of us up, and if we can all do it, we all agree to it. If only one of us can do it, you know, that person will do it. And then it's just professionals and try and learn the sets and, you know, bring quality to their live performance, because it's a reflection of us as well. Like we're on stage with these people.
Right. So even if the phrase might be a dirty phrase, the fact is that you're being called because there's a status to your work and your talent as musicians. Right. Is that a good way to say it, Melissa?
Yeah, I think it's quite flattering to have these really talented musicians come to us and want us to improve their live set, which is already fantastic as it is. So it's really an honor. But
the fact that they trust us with their music.
Yeah,
know.
But at the same time, we do have our own music.
It all kind of feeds back into privileges. You know, we kind of learn, at least I learn a lot of different things working with different artists, and you kind of take that back to your own project, and it kind of just adds another dimension to it.
Working with everybody, you know, else, it forces you to listen a lot more. Listen, be more in tune with your playing. How are you going to compliment, you know, all these performers and their sound? And then you come back to privileges and kind of let loose.
I can't wait. Let's hear one more song. You game?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. So this is Into the Fire by the Sacramento band Privileges. Zach, will you take us back to a fire experience that you had? I don't know the whole story, so yeah. What happened?
Yeah, well, so I got a call from my wife, who was working from home at the time, and she said, you know, Zach, the house is on fire, and it's really bad. Come home. So I, you know, rushed home from work, and, you know, I see fire pouring out of the roof, which is, you know, at the time, our studio was on the second floor, and Privileges was set up to record an audition bassist, so everything was out, you know, all their gear was just in the second floor, and this, I see that room going up in smoke and thought that was it. Like,
we were supposed to have practice that day.
Yeah,
too.
And I had to text the guys like, hey, you know,
there's a fire.
Sorry, there's a fire. You know, luckily we had renter's insurance, which, you know, anyone listening,
clutch.
Get renter's insurance.
Clutch.
Really, really important.
So yeah. How much equipment did you lose?
A surprising amount of it survived. I spent the weeks after the fire basically taking everything apart, all the pedals and electronic gear, and, you know, with Q-tips and isopropyl alcohol, and cleaning it all off and putting it back together. And a surprising amount of stuff worked, but the SAC Fire Department was really probably a big part of that, because they did an amazing job just like showing up and not only controlling the fire but protecting our stuff. And a lot of people don't realize, like, when you're in that experience, how much work goes into protecting your life, like, you know, your furniture and your pets and everything. And it's, yeah, they did a really good job trying to save everything.
Thankfully, everybody's safe.
Yes, yeah. that was the important thing.
Into the Fire. It's a song from Privilege's first record, the Common Language EP. And let's hear a new song. This is Math Bossa. So that's Math Bossa, a new song from Privileges. Zach, are you working on a new album?
We are. Yeah, that song and Lift and a couple other songs that we've been playing around are going to be on this album. And we're probably looking to release it sometime early next year.
And that's Privileges. We made a video of the band performing the new single in our studio. And that single, titled Lift, will be available on Spotify and Apple Music. By the way, Zach sampled a bit of my interview with Sean Lamar from DeLorean. And then he surprised us with this. So take a listen.
Tell me about your schedule lately. You and John Reyes sometimes collaborate with Stevie Nader, with the drummer OJ, and
No, that won't be on the new record. And seriously, you have to see Privileges for the full experience. See them live. We've posted a list of upcoming shows and the video at capradio.org/insight. You're listening to Insight Music on Capital Public Radio.
You and John Reyes sometimes collaborate with Stevie Nader, with the drummer OJ, and
Well, the birds were talking all at once, and the old man mowing down his lawn. He didn't seem like much to bid again. I was thinking, hang on, man, something's wrong. Your blues, they do seem to be gone. Heaven ain't bad, but you don't get nothing done.
You're listening to Insight Music on Capital Public Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. In the late 90s, there was a popular Canadian folk music group called the Be Good Tanyas. Jolie Holland, who lived in Northern California for a while, and Samantha Parton made up half of the group. And the two of them reunited this year for a new album. Nick Bruner, the host of Cap Radio's Hey Listen, invited them for some conversation and an in-studio recording.
Sometimes I don't know where this dirty road is taking me. Sometimes I don't even know the reason why. But I guess I keep a gambling, lots of booze and lots of rambling. Well, it's easier than just waiting around to die.
That's the legendary balladeer Townes Van Zandt. His music has been covered time and time again by my in-studio guests Jolie Holland and Samantha Parton. The pair reunited this year to release their album Wildflower Blues, and I started our chat by asking them why Townes Van Zandt remains such an influence. This is Jolie.
Well, to me, he's almost like a neighborhood bard. My best friend was teenage hippies with him. I have a ton of friends that knew him. He's familial to me. He's this incredible poet with such a special voice. You know, despite the fact that he's such an important songwriter from like the region that I'm from in Texas, I first heard his name from Samantha, who's from British Columbia, Canada.
I had been hanging around in Texas at the Kerrville Folk Festival for
a couple of years in a row, and the first year I was there, everybody, you know, it was Towns had just died that year, and he was kind of a regular at that festival, so there was a real reverence for him. And Waiting Around to Die was one of those songs that I heard, you know, some band around a campfire cover. It sort of lingered in the back of my brain somewhere, and, you know, eventually I recorded it with the Bigatonias, but I had not yet even heard the Towns version of that song.
Oh, wow.
At that point.
It's also like just classic romantic poetry. Like, mm-hmm. It's so well constructed.
So I keep reading about how Bob Dylan's album Nashville Skyline was such an influence for Wildflower Blues. Now, that was a big turn in style sonically for Dylan. Tell me a little bit more about why that album was such an inspiration.
I knew I basically had to make two records at the same time. Like, I'm working all this material for my next record, and we were working on this stuff at the same time. And it's like I didn't know which songs were going to go on Wildflower Blues and which songs were going to go on my next solo record. And then I just happened to listen to Nashville Skyline and New Morning at the same time. And I had realized recently that they were basically recorded at the same time. And so it was just this inspiration for, like, yeah, you can do material that feels really different, but at the same time.
Who's gonna throw that minstrel boy a coin? Who's gonna let him down the road? Now who's gonna throw that minstrel boy a coin? Who's gonna let him down easy? Say it so. Our luck has been driving a long, long time, but now he's stuck on top of the hill with 12 4-foot gears. It's been a long, hard climb with all of those ladies, though he's lonely still. Who's gonna throw that minstrel boy a coin? Who's gonna let him down the road? Now who's gonna throw that minstrel boy a coin? Who's gonna throw in love and let him go home? Oh, Jesse's been gone now more than 20 years, but I think I see him coming over that tall trestle bridge. Oh, Jesse, brother, how can it be true with your big dark frames and your fingers tattooed? Who's gonna throw that minstrel boy a coin? Who's gonna let him down? Who's gonna throw that minstrel boy a coin? Who's gonna let him down easy to say yes so? Thank you. Now who's gonna throw that minstrel boy a coin? Who's gonna throw it low and let him go home? Our ballets in London sang in his songs, the eternal angels are singing along, and the lion and the tiger lying down with the lamb. I'm gonna meet you next year in Jerusalem. Who's gonna throw that minstrel boy a coin? Who's gonna let him down the road? Now who's gonna throw that minstrel boy a coin? Who's gonna let him down easy to say?
Samantha, this is your first tour since not one, but two car accidents back in 2012. Can you walk us through what happened and how you got back on your feet?
I had had a head injury, so they did a bunch of scans, and they were like, listen, you've got this little tumor. It doesn't look like a big deal, but we need to go in and do further imaging. So they did that, and they said, your tumor is benign, and it's not a big deal, but you have an aneurysm, and we have to deal with that. So then I had to have this brain surgery. In a way, I kind of say, I think that car accident saved my life. The thing is I'm just so fortunate because it's really unusual that somebody with an existing brain aneurysm would get to find out about it before it bursts.
So in my view, as far as working musicians go, people on the road who are doing what they're doing, you two strike me as quite the role models for people who would like to be on that path.
I mean, it's brutal. I mean, excuse me, I'm sure y'all can edit that out. My advice for young people is be born into a rich family.
Anything for young women specifically?
Unfortunately, the music industry is still very male dominated. You know, for young women, I think it's really important to find those mentors and people that are not going to talk you down, because it happens in these small incremental ways. We had a female sound engineer last night in Oakland, and the sense of relief that I felt. You know, recently I asked a guy to turn me up in the monitor, and he said, how about you sing louder? There's a lot of really good sound guys out there, and then there's a lot of sexist jerks out there.
I was watching a great male musician learn how to play another instrument recently, and it was so inspiring watching him learn. I was saying, what's different? Because it was all men that were involved, these elements of sexism are gone. And I feel lucky that I learned how to play guitar from a woman. There's so much more that I would have liked to learn and would like to learn, but it's so difficult to get into a mentoring situation that doesn't feel tainted by that nonsense.
Understand how very important it is that you're doing what you're doing as a female musician. It's important to the culture. It's important to all the women who come after you. It's important to you. It's important to your friends. It's important to the men in the industry, too, to see women who know what they're doing, are educated about what they're doing. Don't be afraid of learning about what you need on stage.
Jolie Holland and Samantha Parton, thank you so much for coming by Capital Public Radio. This has been a real pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Well, my baby sister told me, and my grandmother too, if I wasn't such a dreamer, I'd have sung known the truth about you. But I was lost, and I courted the trouble I would fall into. Now you are the last.
You are the last. You are the last.
You are the last crazy person that will break my heart. And this is all just so strange. And I may never come back to love. I know it's just me to blame. And what the hell was I thinking of when I set my heart on the sweetest spirit that I'd ever seen? Like I was lost in a dream. Like I was lost in a dream.
For more music, you can see a pair of videos featuring Jolie Holland and Samantha Parton at capradio.org/insight. The new album, again, is titled Wildflower Blues. This is Insight Music on Capital Public Radio.
But the rain is shining on the road. I'm setting my sails to the wind because the river has overflowed. If I can be certain of just one thing I know, you are the last.
You are the last.
You are the last.
Welcome back to Insight Music, our monthly showcase of what's happening in the regional music scene. I'm Beth Ruryak. On November 30th, the Sacramento band Separate Spines will play Bottom of the Hill in San Francisco. And it's a big booking for the group that's only been together for a few years, and in just the past year, changed its lead vocalist, recorded a video, and released a new album. All four musicians came to our studio this month: Buddy Hale, Zach Hake, and yes, that's the same Zach from Privileges, Rachel Freund, and Sydney Jones. They brought keyboards, synthesizers, pedals, chords, mics, all kinds of sound tricks, and some very cool lighting. And they were just about to release that new album titled Cut Up the Rainbow.
The simplest interpretation is just electronic rock, right? So that's like the very simple explanation of that. And I try and keep it simple.
Yeah, we try to keep it simple, but it is a lot more than just electronics, especially once we add in drums and guitar amps and
four different writers.
Yeah, we've also called it funny things like throat kick, right?
What is throat kick? I've seen that phrase. In fact, Sydney, you get credit for the throat kicks. So,
oh, really? I don't know.
Lucky. What is it?
I just think it's a genre that makes you feel like you maybe just lost your mind and you don't know what you heard.
I want to get to a clip of the music so people know the sound that we're talking about. But if I played two different songs, your band might sound completely different as well.
Yep. You're just going to have to listen to the whole album, I guess.
But let's listen to this track titled Different Clouds by Separate Spines. Whoa! you got the sound, at least one sound from the band. That's Sydney on vocals with Buddy. What did you just say? It sounds good on the air. You haven't listened to it, actually?
We just did a car test. Yeah, before we pressed the album, we listened to it in a car, but we've never heard it on the radio before. So that's pretty neat to hear.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting.
Rachel, I want to get you in here because what do you want to add to what they're describing and saying about the type of music and the way you play the music?
Well, it's a totally new experience for me being in Separate Spines. I've been a clarinetist all my life, so this is a departure for me. And quite frankly, it's just an honor to be in a group of such talented musicians and really nice people, too. It's a good band of friends.
Have they ever tried to tap those skills? Like, can you jump and play the clarinet at the same time?
Check. Depends whether it's the B-flat or the bass clarinet. we have an unwritten rule in Separate Spines that the instruments have to be plugged in order to be played in the band.
In fact, our studio has never looked like this. I'll have to take a picture. We have four boards, synthesizers, keyboards. Sydney, is this a true story that you watched the band perform and thought they were so fun or inspiring that you somewhat volunteered or reached out?
Yeah. I asked Buddy after seeing them, I believe it was at Cafe Colonial. Mm-hmm. I just sent him a message and asked if they needed help with vocals. And he's like, hey, do you want to be the singer? And I was like, okay, yeah, I'll try that. And yeah, it stuck. I really enjoy being in the band.
Now that you have this synergy, what are you trying to do? What's the mission with the music, Zach? And I'm going to ask you because you play in multiple groups, and it's pretty important to have a very clear idea of the niche you want to fill.
Mm-hmm. I think we want to bring a sort of more unique sound into, into radio and bigger festivals. And Sacramento has such weird, wonderful music, and I think we should start, exporting that art to the world.
So that's Buddy Hale, Zach Hake, Rachel Freund, and Sydney Jones. They are Separate Spines. Can't wait to hear you play. So I'm going to let you stand up and take position. And I'll let you know that this is a song called Blinded by Separate Spines.
Separated from your own mind, you never thought you'd see the day. So you each have different jobs going on and different bands, and this music is really getting some traction in the area. What's the goal with it besides taking this new music right now to these performances while it's kind of hot and brand new?
First.
Yeah, we're really interested in touring, like doing a U.S. tour, potentially going to Europe. We're, of course, interested in writing new music and playing with our favorite bands. Mm-hmm. That's really a goal of ours, is just like reaching up and trying to connect with musicians we admire.
Right, yeah.
You're saying that as if this has been a very specific conversation and you're all clear about this intention.
Yeah, I've been very clear about opening up for Deerhoof.
That was probably the original goal.
as soon as I met Buddy, I think I met Buddy in a Deerhoof t-shirt.
Yep.
Okay.
And before we even started the band, it was just like, we want to play with Deerhoof. Let's start a band and hopefully do that.
I think Festival of New American Music could work too here on the Sac State campus. Do you think?
Wow. Thanks, that sounds great.
Oh, well,
is that an opera? No, I don't know.
We'll have to talk to them about it.
Let's talk
so
to them.
Each of you are songwriters. I do want to point that out, too. And everyone contributed to this album, correct?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah that's true.
Is that a requirement of being in the band, or did it just happen that way?
I think we were intentional about making it happen that way. And I think part of stepping away from our old catalog of songs was to say, hey, let's see what happens if we just get together and write together and write something collaboratively. And that's kind of what Cut Up the Rainbow turned out to be.
I want to explore that a little bit more. Buddy, would you start with a song that you wrote for the album and talk about some of the intricacies of it?
Sure. Yeah. So the first track is called Cut Up the Rainbow, and it's like an introduction to the album. I wrote that just as an experiment with looping. So there's a good amount of looping on this album, and I really wanted to play with that. And so that was just a simple process of just sitting with those instruments, sitting with the effect pedals, and kind of just playing with them.
And which instruments?
Looper pedals and different microphones and different effects. Another track that I wrote is, well, Shag, but it was kind of a collaborative thing. So I wrote the guitar part to that song, which ended up being a two-part song. So I wrote the first half on guitar. Rachel had a dream and dreamt up some lyrics. I added those lyrics to the guitar part, and then we interpreted that as a band into the Separate Spine setup. And then,
We tacked on the second part of that song as something that I wrote, and we developed kind of together. I mean, all the songs we really developed together. Like, I think to say that any one of us wrote a song is kind of not entirely accurate, because we're constantly contributing, you know, with Sydney writing Blinded.
Rachel, what was the dream and what were the lyrics in the dream?
Yeah, I don't remember the content of the dream, but I actually dreamed up the lyrics, and I don't know if that happens a lot to people, but it was a pretty new experience for me. So I reached over, I had my phone next to my bed, and I texted myself the lyric. I think it was, it's like having Punch and Judy shag shots of glass between your legs. One more shock and you're still sad. If you can howl again, you'll be okay. And for those out there who are listening really carefully, that seemed to me afterwards like, oh yeah, that's like about being in a dream state where you're feeling helpless and just watching these weird, bizarre, nonsensical things happen to you.
And Sydney, jump in about Blinded.
Blinded is a song that I wrote, I guess in the place where I was at when I wrote it, was feeling kind of dwarfed by the world and feelings and just all these experiences that I was a lot smaller than, and wanting to feel necessary in a way in this world, like trying to figure out what my purpose is. So that song's kind of, I guess, reflecting that.
How about the song Crush? Who wants to talk about Crush?
I feel like I'm mostly responsible for that. Although the lyrics basically came from a song I had written a while back about some wildfires
But Zach, you started the musical part of it, or the lyrics?
The lyrics. Okay. But the musical part, Buddy and I came up with in the car.
That was fun.
Buddy had a little app on his phone, and he was like, yeah, you just push these little buttons and it makes a little loop. And so I wasn't even looking, and I was, you know, driving. Don't tell my mom.
I was looping and driving.
So this weird sort of syncopated beat and this like bass line came out of it, and we were just really, I was really interested in them, and this was really fun. And Sydney, I get to do like kind of different characters and jump around.
That's a weird song. It's probably one of the weirder songs on the album.
Definitely.
But it's fun.
Separate Spines, the new album is titled Cut Up the Rainbow. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Separate Spines will be at Bottom of the Hill in San Francisco on November 30th. You can hear more conversation and see a very cool video at capradio.org/insight. Be sure to look for the CD orbs full of rainbows. They were handmade by Zach. And that's Insight Music for this month. I'm Beth Ruyak. Our producers are Jen Picard, Chris Remington, Cody Drabble, and Nick Bruner. We had help from Chris Hagen and Will Coburn. Thanks also to Matt Passini, Anthony Van Hook, Andrew Nixon, and Paul Conley. Our technical director is Mark Jones. Our executive producer is Joe Barr. Have a great weekend, and go enjoy some live music.